years, and then he came back here, and now he's working with the Southside Church. Amen. And in this mission conference, we're not just having foreign missionaries speak. We want our pastors from our other churches to speak, because we want to hear what they have to say. The Lord's doing something on the South Side.
Amen.
The Lord's doing something on the North Side and in Austin, and we're thankful for that. We're very thankful for that. So, Brother Trini, why don't you come on and get what's on your heart?
Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to try to be fast and to the point. Chapter 12, verse 1 of Hebrews. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For considering him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, I've been coming to all the night meetings, except, of course, Sunday. I was at my church. But I've come also in the mornings, except today. I was preparing for this message. But I've been paying attention to the messages. I pay attention to the verses. I pay attention to what's being said, because this is how God speaks to us. He speaks to us through His Word. So it's important to pay attention to what's being said, and I've taken notes, I've copied, and I'm going to use some of those thoughts, because this is basically what the Lord is trying to tell us. We have to be sensitive to His Word, the message that is coming. And even in this, later on in this same chapter, it tells you also that see that you not refuse him that speaketh. So we have to pay attention to God's word. Don't pay attention so much at the face or at the individual, especially mine. The thing is that God speaks to us through his word, and that's actually how we get saved. The Bible does tell us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Right.
And it was 1982. I was sitting in the back in the last row of the police department. I had been a policeman for 14 years, and a policeman, real good friend of mine, had just gotten saved. And he would give me a gospel tract. Right away he began to witness, and he wound up giving me a total of 10 in 10 days. And I would read it, and I'd go home and compare it with my Bible. And a lot of the guys would just leave it there. They could care less about God's Word. I took it, and I'm glad I did, because after 10 days, I asked the Lord to save my soul.
Amen.
So He saved my soul, and it was because of God's Word.
Amen.
And of course, one of the things that I heard also, I think it was at night, I'm not going to mention from who, other than I'll tell you the verse, but somebody here had spoken, one of the missionaries, about from Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Very common verse. We've heard it before here. It's been preached many times before. Where there's no vision, the people perish. It's so important. And, of course, since he was speaking about that, they would be speaking also about their churches. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about the Southside Church, in case you haven't heard much. It's a small church. Our parking lot is not too good. Sometimes we have visitors, and sometimes those visitors have four legs. You know, one time we were having service, and we kept hearing the noise on the other side of the wall. and we knew what it was. And then at one particular time, the rat went right across, and I felt like having target practice, but I decided not to. The thing is that we do have a vision. We want to get another place, and we hadn't thought hard enough, and now we've decided it's time to move. Amen. And that's what we're doing. That's our vision. Amen. We want a bigger church. I keep hearing everybody from Mexico as well as from Poland that we're not seeing much fruit. And, of course, I can tell you the same thing for us. People come and people go. Yeah. And sometimes I like to blame the building because you can't see it too well. The parking's small, hard to get to. And so we're looking right now, that's our vision, to find a place. We even have a sister from here that's in real estate. She's looking also for a building for us. And if we can't find a building, we're even looking for just some land that we can even build. We're ready to move. And of course, we know that it has to be the Lord's. Amen. So we are praying and we're putting it in the Lord's hands. We want a bigger building. We know that the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. Right. So we know it has to be the Lord's. But at the same time, we also need to put our effort and we need to have that vision. Also, another thing that I'd like to bring out is something that I heard here. The missionary, I kept hearing that we need to be faithful. The Lord is looking for faithful men. And of course, one of the verses that was used, and it really touched me, it was 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, where the Apostle Paul is saying that he was thankful to the Lord that he counted him faithful, putting him in the ministry. Yeah. And that is so true. The Lord is looking for faithful men. Amen. Now, you might think, well, I've always had faith, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The thing is that we either have little faith or no faith at all. And the Bible does tell us, and it was in Proverbs, Solomon wrote, But a faithful man, who can find? And that is that's amazing to me. And of course, the person who wrote it, I wonder if he slapped himself when he wrote that verse, because if anybody should have been faithful, it should have been Solomon. He had been blessed. His father was King David, and all the things that he had been given. When the Lord appeared to him and he asked him, what would you want? He says, I want wisdom and I want knowledge. And the Lord says, I'll give it to you. And I'll also give you this and this and this and so much. And yet, towards the end, he wasn't very faithful.
Right.
And what a shame. No wonder the Lord put in also in his word, the first shall be last. I wonder if he was thinking about Solomon. But the thing is, he also wrote, but a faithful man, who can find? You know, we would all like to boast that we're just full of faith. And the thing is that when we first started, we really didn't have any. Somebody had to come and witness to us. Somebody had to come and give us a gospel tract. It's just like the tract that I was getting. Faith cometh by hearing. I had to hear. Somebody had to tell me. The Lord selected 12 people, and out of all the 12, you remember when you read the gospel, you'll find that he told Peter on several occasions, you find it in the different books, where he says, oh, ye of little faith. Now, that pertained to Peter. But then in the book of Mark, the Lord is talking to all his disciples. And he said he talked to them, and he asked them, why is it that you have no faith? So the thing is that they also had little faith or no faith at all. And of course, as you continue to read, you find that the Lord marveled at two individuals. He says, I hadn't seen so much, such great faith. No, not in Israel. And they were both Gentiles. A Roman soldier and also a lady. So you see, the thing is that we need to hear God's word. On one place also in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 5, the apostle said, increase our faith. So it's extremely hard to be faithful. And of course, as time goes by, we continue to grow our faith. It's very important, because that's why the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembly of the believers. Because this is where you come and hear God's word, and your faith grows. Amen. And you begin to grow and to mature. But, you know, one of the things that the Apostle Paul also tells us, he tells you that, follow me like I follow Christ. It wasn't so much to follow Paul, because Paul made also some mistakes, just like all of us. But the thing is that he followed Christ. And we need to follow Paul like he followed Christ. Amen. But also, you find in the book of Philippians where he also tells you, he says, mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. In other words, if there's some faithful men in the congregation, mark them. Follow their examples. And you know, when I got saved, I wound up at a church that I thought was real good, and it was to a certain extent, until I found some false doctrine that was being taught. And I lasted there 2 years and I left. And I had already visited Oakville several times, so I knew exactly where to go. I came right away over here. And I told Brother Kincaid, this is going to be my church. I'm going to stay here. I've been saved for 35 years. So I've been here for 33. And it didn't take me long. I marked Brother Kincaid. He is so faithful. I wanted to be like him. I wanted to follow him. He's the one that taught me the Bible. Everything that the way he believes, I believe the same way. Even at one time, he had a quadruple bypass, and I told my doctor, I want one too. And of course, I got it. Quadruple bypass, I want to be like my pastor. But of course, you know, I'm just joking. It was just too many donuts I ate. The thing is that I marked him because he was faithful. And he was my pastor. He's still my pastor. I consider him my pastor. He's my friend. He's my brother. And I could say the same thing about most people here. I see a lot of faithful people here. I know most of you. I've known you for years. And I know your faithfulness. And it doesn't have to be that you're a preacher or a teacher or a pastor. But there's a lot of things that everybody does. And you've been faithful. Faithful in praying. Faithful in giving. Faithful in so many other things. You have ministries. So many things that you do. And it's not only one person. It's just like soldiers. Those that are in combat and those that are in the front lines. If they don't have the back support, they don't last long. They need somebody to bring them ammunition. They bring somebody to bring them the food. And so many other things that they need. In the same way in the Christian life. We have to support each other. And this is what we have here. And of course, let me get to my text also. I don't want to take too long. But the text tells me that we're in a race. And this is just the way, it's not just any word at random that the Lord picked. Everything makes sense. Everything is perfect, what God has given us. And I believe every word that God gave us. And when he says that about running the race, I look at it as there's no time to stop. There's no time to take a break. You're on a race. Just like John was saying a while ago, you got probably 75 years to live. Well, I'm 71. That means I got 4 years. I don't have too much time to waste. And I don't want to be one of those that says, yeah, you did run well. I want to make it all the way to the end, and this is what it tells us. It also says that we need to run with patience. The reason it says that you have to run with patience, because in this life, you're going to need patience. You're going to go through a lot of troubles. You have children, they're going to cause you all kinds of problems. The devil loves to go after the children of Christians. I have a lot of friends that are not Christians. And I see their kids successful in everything they do. They don't have no problems at all. And then I see my Christian brothers, and I see so much problems in the families, the kids. You know what I'm talking about. You need patience. You don't give up on your kids. You continue to go. And I've had problems with some of them, but there's no such thing as giving up. All of them are doing well, but let me just tell you, at one time I had a lot of problems with one of my daughters. And she wasn't into any drugs or nothing like that, but she gave me a lot of problems, and nevertheless she wound up getting married, finished college, went on to become a teacher, then became a vice principal, and now she's a principal, getting ready to get her PhD. And at one time, I was trying to talk her into joining the military. I was tired. But we can't quit. We have to continue, because you don't know what the outcome's going to be. And sometimes the kids are being attacked from all directions. And we have to have patience and just endure it. It's also a race of service. You have to do a lot of work. The Lord didn't save you just so you could relax and say, oh, okay, I'm saved. And now I can just sit down and do nothing. That's why we have that cloud of witnesses. The cloud of witnesses is so that we can look and see what problems they went through and how they endured. And it's just to teach us how to make it through this life. And we have all those lives. But let me tell you one thing they didn't have. They didn't have Jesus to look to. We have Jesus to look to. That's why the Bible tells us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. They couldn't look into that, but we can. We look unto Him, and of course we see how He endured the contradictions. What a tremendous example for us. Thank you, Lord. And many times when we have problems, somebody wants to contradict us. They and right away we get all bent out of shape. And we don't know how to handle it. But we need to look into Jesus, how He handled problems. And you'll see how what He tells us. He also gives an example about how He despised the shame. And to me, that's always been such an inspiration for me. How He despised the shame. In other words, He's going up Calvary's Hill, all beat up, all bloodied. The Bible tells you in the Old Testament that He would not even look like a man. They tore Him up completely. They spit on His face. And yet, He despised it. I just think it's so amazing. When the ladies were crying for Him as He's walking up Calvary's Hill, and instead He stops and He tells them, women of Jerusalem, don't cry for me, cry for your children. In other words, your children are going to be causing you a lot of trouble. Man, and to be ashamed of our Lord, Let me tell you, when I got saved, 6 months later, I started going door knocking because I saw it in the scriptures. I knew I needed to speak. I was already witnessing to everybody in the police department. I would stand right there at the getting off duty, where they're turning in all their police reports, and I'd be there witnessing to every single policeman, giving gospel tracts. And street preaching, I would only hear from our missionaries. They're the ones that would come and tell us about street preaching, and I would just think about it. I had nobody to look to. I couldn't say, well, so-and-so is doing, maybe I'll go and look how it's done. I had nobody to learn from. And I kind of felt ashamed. And I said, why should I be ashamed to go out and preach in the streets? These guys do it all the time. So what I did is I took vacation. I took my family to Mexico. Let's go visit our brothers. But really, I wanted to go and preach with them. I wanted to learn from the best. I wanted to be out there and see how it was done. I remember I went, and I went preaching. I forget who it was. There were several other brothers. And right away, I had my message ready to go. But I wasn't too sure, how is it going to come out of my mouth? Is it going to be a shrieky voice? How am I going to do it? So I said, you all go first. So I heard them preach. And out of the street that we were preaching in, there was only one lady at the door looking. There were also two dogs looking. But I don't fear no dog. I'm used to dogs. I used to see them in the street all the time, especially at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when there's nobody in the street but only the policemen patrolling. That's why they call it dog watch. We just watch the dogs and they watch us. So I had no fear of dogs. But I was afraid. I was ashamed. And then I began to preach. And I came back to San Antonio. And I talked to a brother here. And I said, you know what? We need to preach in the streets. I just find out how it's done. I'm an expert at it already. So we decided, or I decided, we're going to go to the housing projects. I knew the housing projects. I had made thousands of calls all the time. Sometimes I would make as many as 25 calls in an 8-hour period. So I knew every street, every block, and we started at Via Veramendi. Every housing project in the West Side, we preached in every walk, everywhere. We did it for 7 years. But I remember we started, me and Fred, a good brother who was from Mexico, he spoke perfect Spanish. We were going to be preaching in Spanish and English. And, of course, I wanted to preach in Spanish also. I felt more confident. But, of course, mine is Tex-Mex. And he went ahead and he preached in Spanish. And then I came right after him and I preached in English. But when he was preaching, he began to cry. We had a lot of people out. We invited everybody just the way they did in Mexico. I learned my lesson good. And he began to cry as he's preaching. And I said, man, this is good. Because that's what the Bible tells you. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall no doubt come again rejoicing, bringing back his chiefs. Shall doubtless come again rejoicing. In other words, you go out there preaching and you're crying, or you've shed some tears. In other words, you show your true love for the people. Somebody's going to get saved. You know why I believe it? God said it. It's in Psalm 126, verse 6. And I knew it, and I said, man, this is good. And there was one lady there that was the whole time was there watching us. And after I finished preaching, I went to her and I talked to her. She wanted a Spanish church. So it was all in English. And I said, I'll find you one. I know somebody. And I got her name. And then I went and visited Brother Carrizales' church. Carrizales is well known. He had come here to preach. I knew him. I had gone to visit his church. And I went and told him about this lady, gave him the name. He said, we'll go pick her up. I didn't hear no more about it. Until about a year later, he came over here to preach. And he said, Trini, remember that name of that lady you gave me? I said, yeah. He said, we picked her up. And she came and got saved on the first Sunday. And then she began to bring her family. Amen. Right now we have 30 people in our church all saved from her.
Amen.
You know, you talk about, I don't see no fruit.
Yeah.
Most of the time we ain't going to see none.
Yeah.
They go to other churches or they get saved much later. The thing is, we don't know.
Yeah. Amen.
But your work is not in vain. Let me tell you, don't ever get discouraged.
Yeah. Right.
When they witnessed to me, I was 16 years old. I was in a jailhouse. I had gotten in a fight. I was a juvenile. But in the 1950s, they didn't call your mama to come and get you. They put you in jail. So they had me in jail, and somebody came the next day, and they witnessed to me and gave me a little Bible. I was there for 2 days. I read the entire New Testament except for the book of Revelation when my aunt came to get me. And I remember walking out of that jail and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I know this is your word. I'm going to come back and read it again. I was 16. 20 years later, I'm 36. And that's when they're giving me those gospel tracts at work. I had already been in the army, had gone to college. So many things had happened. I had children. And after 10 days, I remembered that promise. Lord, I promised that I would come back to you.
Amen.
And I asked him to save my soul.
Amen.
20 years later, that man who gave me that Bible never knew it.
Right.
And many times you witness and you pass out a tract or you preach in the street and you think that nobody's getting saved. Nobody knows. But let me tell you, your fruit will be great.
Amen.
Their reaping will be great. And we won't know until we get to heaven. That's when the Lord will tell you, good and faithful servant. And that's why it's so important. That you be faithful.
Yes.
That you don't faint. If you're not seeing fruit, and none of us are seeing it, I can tell you the same thing for us. We're still faithful. We still go door to door. We still talk to people.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
But I don't see him in our church. But I know many people are getting saved. And we'll know for sure when we get to heaven. And that's the most important thing. Let me just tell you, brothers, I know that we have a lot of faithful brothers here. Just keep on.
Amen.
Don't quit.
Amen.
Looking on to Jesus,
yes.
The author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Glory to God.
Man, isn't the Lord good?
Amen.
Got two questions so far tonight. I hope you heard them. Number one, are you useful? And number two, are you faithful? Maybe the Lord's trying to talk to somebody here and today to be useful and to be faithful. To do that, you got to do some things. The Lord's been good. He's been talking to us tonight, and we thank the Lord for it. We have some special music, and then our final speaker tonight is going to be Brother Joe West from Torun, Poland.
So all those who got the memo on the red shirt, you come up here to sing. Maroon. Oh, and all of you other men who would, please join me up here. Bring your supplement. We're going to sing number 42. You'll join me. Any of you who would, come up here and join me. Bring your supplement.